This show is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on this portion of the program, we are talking with Julie Byler, who is director of The Chorale, which is a group based in Champaign that gives a few concerts every year and has been around for quite a long time. Their next concert is coming up this Sunday. It's their annual Celebration of Life concert, and it is a choral festival, as they're calling it, with Dr. Renee Clausen, who is my other guest. He's on the telephone with us from Moorhead, Minnesota. He's a professor at Concordia College there, has the Concordia Choir, rather famous organization. And Julie is live with me here in the studio, so this is sort of a multimedia audio presentation. And I'm very glad to have both of you on the show. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kevin.
And thanks for hopping on the phone.
The
Celebration of Life concert, Julie, that's a title you use every year. Where does that come from?
Well, interestingly enough, it was one of those opportunities just presented at my doorstep by a local funeral home several years ago, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, who wanted some music of comfort for their clientele who had perhaps lost loved ones and during the seasons coming up would be difficult. So it was originally presented in that way, and gradually over the years we've taken it over ourselves, and calling it Celebration of Life has given us quite a bit of latitude for literature, and we've again kind of this choral festival has been going on ever since Alice Parker came in our 20th year. We've had Craig Jessup and a couple times, and he'll be coming again, and I've been after Renee ever since I met him that time over at Normal, and his schedule, as you can imagine, is crowded, and so finally he's made some space, and we're just looking forward to it.
So that time over at Normal, you actually talked about it before we started recording, so tell our listeners what that time at Normal was.
Well, it was the First United Methodist Church over there has a nice budget, and they're able to do this kind of thing with their church choir, and I have a friend over there who just invited me to come and sing along and see how it was. So I went over and did that and introduced myself to Renee and had a probably much too lengthy for his taste, a conversation about how it would be nice if he could come and do that for us. And it just took a while to clear schedules. That's the way it is.
Well, you must not have put him off, because here he is.
Here he is.
On the phone and coming to town on Sunday.
The real test is, after he's here, will he come back?
Well, you know, I was in school at graduate school at University of Illinois. So, you know, I think Champaign and university, it's graduate school time, so I always think of eating lots of hot dogs and macaroni and cheese and being in school.
We'll feed you better than that, I promise.
Yeah, it's a little different environment returning to Champaign-Urbana, not in a graduate school mode.
Well, I will, of course, come back to this specific concert, because it is a festival of, Julie, mostly or exclusively Renee Clausen's music.
With one exception, we're doing all of Renee's music. When I was choosing music for this concert, I just went through our library and noticed how many of his works we had chosen over the years, his compositions and his arrangements. And in an effort to conserve financially, I thought, well, we'll just delve into our library and see what we can put together. And it turned out to be a Clausen event. The additional piece that we'll be starting with that is not his is kind of in harmony, I guess you would say, with our theme for the year, which is called In Unison. And the piece that we'll be singing will be the arrangement by Robert DeCormier of Walk Together, Children. But otherwise, everything you hear belongs to the composer.
Speaking of the composer and the group that you work with, the Concordia Choir, as I said, it's a pretty well-known group. How long have you been at Concordia and leading that choir?
I have to say this is the 23rd year that I've been here at Concordia. Yeah, most of my professional career, at least the longest, by far the longest leg of my career has been here.
And what makes both the choir and the school interesting enough for you to stick around?
Sometimes I've asked myself in the middle of winter, since we are 250 miles north of Minneapolis and another 100 miles to the Canadian border, we're in not one of the most comfortable climates in the world, especially having been raised in Southern California.
Oh, wow.
But maybe that also explains why many, many decades. Just, I don't know whether it's something in the water that just breeds singers, but the choral music in the state has it's been a rather hotbed for choral music on lots of levels, from everything from middle school, junior high, high school, very strong high school programs, many, many fine, outstanding collegiate and university choral programs. Just in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul alone, there are over 40 community choirs.
No kidding. That's huge.
It's huge. I mean, it was unimaginable. I just didn't. When I found that out, I thought, my gosh. So there's just lots of singers. And, of course, for a choir director, that's pretty attractive. I think at a place like this at Concordia, there was a very strong tradition here for many decades under the leadership of Paul J. Christensen, who had this job for 50 years. That doesn't happen much anymore. Well, one person will be in a tenure for that long, literally their whole teaching career. And over that period of time, it became a very important feature of the college. So one of the things I'm very grateful for is the support that we have administratively from Concordia to do a major national tour every year with the choir, to do an international touring. Many, many students come here for the choral program. So although we are a college of about just under 2,800 students, there is over 375 students that participate in the choral program. So it's a great place to be with when you have all those components put together that offer you so much support to maintain and develop and continue to develop a choral music program. So over the years, this has just been a wonderful place to make music with young people.
I'm going to ask a question of both you and Julie Byler, and actually before we go on, let me remind our listeners, or just let you know if you're just tuning in, that this is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and the conversation is with Dr. Renee Clausen, who is a composer and a conductor of the Concordia Choir at Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. He will be the guest of the Chorale in Champaign for their Celebration of Life concert this coming Sunday at not their usual space, actually. It's the Wesley Foundation at Wesley United Methodist Church in Urbana. The Chorale is directed by Julie Byler, who is also on the show with me today. And Renee, I want to ask you this first, and that is, if you were forced, as you are now going to be, to characterize your own music, what would you say about it?
Boy, the difficult question, a good question, just a difficult one. I think one of the issues for any composer, but I think particularly American composers, and I would say even further specify that to American choral composers, is it is very tempting to rewrite the same music over and over again. That, especially if we're involved in creation of music for educational ensembles or public school music, or to some extent collegiate level too, although not as much there. You write a successful piece and a piece that has been performed widely. The temptation is to write the same style, kind of accept those parameters for yourself compositionally. And I guess I'm trying to work away from that so that I wouldn't be too predictable in what I'm writing. Now, when you write a commission piece, and I've written a lot of commission works, one of the circumstances or parameters you have to deal with in making that successful is knowing what kind of group you're writing for. So if it's a community choir, if it's a high school choir, it's a church choir of 20 people or whatever, you have to be able to compose in a style and with technical means that can be successful for that group. And I guess having said that, what I would hope to say about my own style is that it would be different depending upon the level group I'm writing for. I think there are some common, when I look back at it, what I've written now, there are some common characteristics. It tends to be textually respond to text content. So I tend to choose pieces that are, and literature, poetry, that tends to be rather colorful and expressive, latent imagery that I can respond to as a composer. I know that's a lot of words there, but what I'm trying to get to is I think my style of what I've done to this point in my life has been pretty listenable music to audiences. I think that singers can engage. It's not so technically demanding that singers can't engage rather readily into it. And then if singers can, well, so can audiences then. I feel some responsibility about creating music for not only singers, but audience members to hear that they can connect expression to.
Well, without further comment, let's hear a sample of Renee Claussen's music. The only comment I will make is that this performance was given by the chorale some years ago under the direction of Julie Beiler, and you're hearing it on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was music by Renee Claussen, Set Me as a Seal Upon My Heart, from a much larger work called A New Creation, recorded in 2001 by the Chorale here in Champaign, conducted by Julie Beiler, who is one of my two guests here on Live and Local during this portion of the program, and the other is, in fact, the composer, Renee Claussen, who is on the phone with us in Minnesota. Julie is on in the studio with us, and she's sort of mouthing to me as we're listening that this is the first time that Dr. Claussen has heard the chorale, Which he is going to be working with this weekend as they prepare for the concert of an all Claussen program. So I want to ask, I said I had kind of a similar question for both of you a while ago, and so, Julie, I want to ask you this version, which is, what about Rene Claussen's music appeals to you enough to do a whole program on it and to have done so much of his music over the years?
Well, first, let me just say I just had the experience of an audition. I always wonder what makes folks like Rene and Alice and Craig say yes to people like me when they've really never heard what they're in for. But I think the very thing that he said is attested by the fact that we have had his music in our library periodically from almost the very inception. We're 27 years now. And even the two works that we're doing on Sunday, this one that you just played an excerpt from, New Creation, and the other one, Memorial, are, I think, examples of what he said he does. And that is staying relevant, I think, is maybe the way I would say it, not getting stuck in the same patterns as you have always done, and yet making it interesting enough to the singers. I always say to the singers, if you don't like these intervals of a second, just hang on a minute, because he will reward you with great chords and lush harmonies, which he does. And so it is true that the singers latch on to this music. And as he says, the best way to get your audience to pay attention is by having the feeling, the spirituality coming from the singers out over the audience. And it's very likable music. We've done his arrangement of Water
Is Wide.
Yes, thanks. The Water Is Wide. And we're doing Oh, My Love's Like a Red, Red Rose. And there's a lot of variety. When we first started talking about doing this concert, he sent me a manuscript of something that he had finished most recently involving Susan Palo Cherwin's poetry, at least in part, which was very attractive. But it takes us a while to catch up to where he's going. So we're enjoying very much this, both New Creation and Memorial, which I think is the more I just listen to it and play through it, the more I am just, it's extremely meaningful and memorable, and I think will be enjoyed by everyone. But I wish everyone had the opportunity that I've had to go through it on many occasions and to look at it and to see all the layers that are there.
To work at it slowly and learn it slowly over time.
Yes, right.
Well, we have just a few minutes left coming up on the show. We're going to have a live performance in our studio here by the celebrated Illan Piper, which is sometimes called the Small Irish Pipes, Paddy Keenan. So we're going to make way for him very shortly. Rene Claussen on the telephone in that's the other school, Moorhead, Minnesota. I was going to say Northfield, Minnesota, where St. Olaf Choir is. You're with the Concordia Choir at Concordia College. He's going to be with the chorale in Champaign for a concert Sunday night at 7 o'clock at Wesley United Methodist Church. Their music director is Julie Beiler. She's sitting with me here in the studio here in Urbana. And I thank you both for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Kevin.
Been my pleasure. Look forward to being down where it's warmer.
I'm telling you, we're going to have 65 degrees, no snow. So
that's the hope. So here is a small sampling from another large work that'll be on this concert. The larger work is called Memorial. This is from the Kyrie. The text begins with Adonai, and this is Dr. Claussen's own choir, the Concordia Choir at Concordia College in Minnesota.
Thank you.
And that was music by Rene Clausen, performed by his choir in Concordia College, called, logically enough, the Concordia Choir. And apologies for the, we got it a little bit abruptly at the end there. It was part of a much larger work. You were hearing the Kyrie from a larger work called Memorial. And our conversation with Rene Clausen took place yesterday, also with Julie Beiler, who's the director of the chorale. Rene Clausen will be in town this weekend to work with them and to perform with them on Sunday. Their concert is Sunday night at 7 o'clock at Wesley United Methodist Church in Urbana on West Green Street. And if you'd like more information, you can go to the chorale's website, which is thechorale, C-H-O-R-A-L-E, .org, and you can look at their complete season as well. And we didn't have time to talk about the genesis of the piece, but it was, in fact, a response to the tragedy of 9/11. And there's a much longer story behind it than that. Apparently, he had quite a difficulty getting to being able to even write that. Once he accepted the commission immediately, he had a long period of writer's block, as one might expect after trying to respond to a tragedy like that. But anyway, that was part of that. And you can hear the complete work. It's performed by the chorale on Sunday night at 7. Tonight in Urbana at Heartland Gallery at 8 o'clock, you can hear the wonderful Ilan Piper, Patty Keenan, who is in town to perform as part of the Piper's Hut concert series. He will be here also with singer, songwriter, and guitarist Patsy O'Brien. We had hoped to have Patsy on the show too, and he hasn't made it so far, so we're going to assume he's not going to make it to the show, but we're certain he'll make it for the concert tonight. That's going to be at Heartland Gallery. But Patty Keenan is here in the studio with us to play live, and really, really appreciate your taking only a very slight detour to come in. Thanks for coming in.
An early detour.
Yeah, we got you up earlier probably than you wanted to be up.
Yeah, well, it was easier for me to get out of Chicago. I think Patsy got caught in traffic there. But thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Yeah. excuse me. It's that time of year. I was just telling you before we started talking now that I've seen one set of Ilan Pipes up close before, and they didn't look anything like that. I expected them to be much smaller, and I didn't expect to see so many little long towers coming out of them. Mm-hmm. There's different kinds of pipes, I guess. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Assume that our listeners are completely ignorant about what these pipes are, and what does Ilan mean anyway?
Ilan is the Irish for elbow.
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 Okay.
And elbow pipes. And the reason for that is I blow the bellows. I use a bellows, to blow up the bag, pump up the bag. And with the Scottish pipes, as you know, you blow them by mouth. Even though I remember I was accused once in Germany for having my pipes electrified. And there was no way I could convince this guy. He was convinced. And, of course, there was a little drink taken at the time. And he, in the end, I couldn't get him to believe it at all. So I told him I had a compressor behind the curtains. And he was happy. Me too. He left. they're very different. They have the drones on your knee as opposed to on your shoulder with the Scottish pipes. And on top of the drones, you have 13 keys. 13 notes, which is a backing system to the melody. It's basically something like a one-man band, really, all in one piece. Ilan,
So the drones are the things that sort of stick out. I mean, they look almost like small organ pipes or parts of a clarinet or something like that.
Well, they would be what's over your shoulder on the Scottish pipes, only not quite as loud, and they're tuned slightly different. They are the drones. You also have a switch. I can just blow and give you the sound of the drones. They're on their own, and that's the. Get it out of tune. That's the drones, and then the regulators on top of that. They're sounding quite different through the headphones. I'm not sure if they're perfectly in tune. That's the drones regulators, which is an accompaniment for the chanter, and the chanter is where the melody comes from.
So you can turn any of those off or leave any of them on? I don't think I realized somehow that they could all be independent if you wanted. So what is the regulator?
The regulators are here, and they are the 13 notes that I mentioned. And they give you chords and a rhythm as you're playing the chanter. That's when they're in tune. They're not very good in the mornings. They don't do mornings very well, this instrument. You need to be playing them for a while, and like at least an hour to warm them up. But they, as I said, the melody is... That's the chanter. Rolls, and then... You can hear the chord of G there. There's a bass, baritone, and tenor. A stick coming from the stock, and they have the 13 notes that accompany the melody.
And the chanter is the thing that you actually finger.
That's where your fingers move around. Melody, yeah.
That's where the versatility comes, or the virtuosity comes from.
They are a very expressive instrument, and they come in different pitches. You can have them in C, C sharp, B flat, B, and concert D, which is 440.
Do you ever have need to change them in a concert, or a player just decides this is what I'm going to play?
Unless you're playing with something that you specifically in a specific tuning, and then you would have to go and find yourself possibly a C set or whatever key it was or pitch it was in. So.
I remember many years ago, I think when I was in high school, I played in some orchestra that played with a pipe band, a Scottish pipe band, it was, I guess it's rather popular to play Amazing Grace for the pipes. I'm not really sure why. Mm. And there was no way the orchestra and the pipe band was ever going to be in tune. It was just sort of horrendous, actually. Mm. But I was encouraged to see that you could actually tune that thing, at least to itself.
Yeah, to a certain degree. I mean, I used Scottish pipes because people are more familiar with that instrument. With the Scottish pipes, you have constant moisture going through from your, mouth blowing. With these, you are at the mercy of the weather. So if the air is very dry, the reeds can go any which way. And if it's too moist, it can, same thing. So it has to be somewhat perfect down the middle to have them play at their best.
So the bellows are just sucking in whatever air is around them.
Yeah.
Are the pipes a solo instrument ever, or is it always an accompanying instrument?
No, it's a solo instrument.
It's got
its own accompaniment, and it's got the melody, and it's got its own accompaniment. But, a lot of people don't play the regulators, as they're called. Why, I don't know why they're called. But anyway, the regulators, because they are difficult not only to play, but to keep in tune. And like this morning, I wouldn't be playing as much regulators as I would this evening, because I'd have them warmed up and tuned up so much more. Soon.
Yeah, usually you talk about having to warm up the player, but this I think is about the first time I've had to. I've been aware you have to warm up an instrument. Mm-hmm. Although I know if you take other instruments in from the cold, they need to warm up to get their pitch settled.
Oh yeah, yeah. But, well, these are even more so. And as you say, the person, the player, the driver has to be warmed up as well, I'm sure. You play better at night than you would, say, if someone came in the morning, and especially with an instrument like this.
Well, we're a little bit afternoon. It occurs to me I didn't offer you coffee. I hope you had some before
you got
here.
I had some coffee this morning, and my ears kind of waggling a little from it. I've had a lot of caffeine this morning to keep me on the road, to keep my eyes open. Yeah.
So are you ready to give us a sample of your wares?
I'm going to play, excuse me, I'm going to play a jig. It's called Out in the Ocean. And I have no clue where these pipes are going to go right now, but I'm going to I'll do what I'm supposed to do and let them do the rest.
And we'll all find out.
Okay. Thank you. There's a few squeaks in there. I mean, the regulators are kind of squeaking on me there. They need a little bit of tweaking and.
You need to know how to repair all these things on your own.
You need to have three arms and three hands to play this thing. It looks like that.
And at least one elbow. back to the name of the pipes. Paddy Keenan is my guest here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. He is in town to play at the Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. They host, so far in my experience anyway, they've hosted most of the recent concerts on the Piper's Hut concert series. And, of course, here we have a guy for whom that series was named, The Piper. Sometimes I understand you don't really like the term the King of the Pipers, which has sometimes been applied to you.
Not after that tune there. Definitely not.
Well, we're all waking up.
Yeah, I know. People, you know, they have their favorite, if you like, player, no matter what the instrument is. And back home, I've had stuff like that. And I remember once in London when I was playing with a band we had some years back. And this guy came in to see the Jimi Hendrix off, as he thought, guitar.
Oh.
And someone had passed, someone, one member of the band or some journalist had said, you know, Paddy Keenan, the Jimi Hendrix of the pipes. And when I came out with the pipes, I could see his face drop, you know, because he had never seen the instrument before. I was with a group of musicians, and he did enjoy the show, but he was expecting to see this guitarist, this unbelievable guitarist, and the poor lad when he, you know.
Instead, he got this unbelievable piper, which he just couldn't believe.
I think it was his first time ever seeing the instrument and hearing the instrument. But he was happy with the band. I mean, there were six of us.
Well, he didn't run out, so that's good.
No. He enjoyed it.
Yeah. He maybe got a convert. So when somebody says something like that, the Jimi Hendrix of the pipes, why would they say that? What do you think he meant by that, though?
I'm not quite sure. I know when I started playing at a very early age, and my father played, my brothers and siblings played music. And
your grandfather was a piper also.
And he was as well. So I grew up with the music, and I think it may have, I don't think about it too much, you know, that sort of stuff, but I think it may have something to do with the fact that, you know, when the pipes are in good form, or whatever instrument I play several instruments, strings as well, banjo and guitar and little on the fiddle and stuff, you know, I think it's something to do with your expression, really, you know, and I use the music to express how I am at a given time, and it's a mood, really, you're listening to musically. And it might have something to do with that, but apart from that, I don't really know. You know?
I wondered if it had anything to do with a term that I've read numerous times in reference to the rather famous band that you were a part of, the Bothy Band,
mm-hmm.
As hard driving, as opposed to, you know, I'm not sure.
There's an element
sure
of
what.
That in it too, yeah. I mean, when I was younger, I played a lot more. There was a lot more drive in the playing, I suppose, and young people my age, they liked that, it seemed, because it was one of the first to, I suppose, Devil Care type person. And then the music, you know, the same, the personality, the music, and it came out in the music. And it was a lot to do with the driving force, which was actually used on I read it once on a newspaper by a journalist that myself and another lead musician with the band, the driving force, you know.
I hadn't realized the Bothy Band was around such a short period of time for some reason, which just says I'm really ignorant on my Irish music history.
No, very short, 4 or 5 years or something like that.
But yet incredibly influential, partly for that style, mm-hmm. mostly for the style of playing. What was the instrumentation of that band?
There was pipes, myself with Ilan pipes, flute, low whistles, and Donal, Lonnie on strings. Micheál O'Donnell, vocal and strings. Triana, his sister, on clavinet and vocal. And then there were three fiddle players we went through. Tommy Peoples, Paddy Lacken was the first, and then Kevin Burke, who's now living in the West Coast here. Now that was the musical lineup. And it was mostly the arrangements of the. I mean, we did hold on to the Irish traditional roots, if you like, of the music, but it was the backing system, the arrangements and stuff that brought it that little bit further. I was amazed that, you know, when I first came over here to live here in the 90s, to see how many people, not just my generation, but kids who are still being influenced by this group and listen to it and believe it was whatever, you know, great or good or whatever. You know.
Well, influential at the very least. Mm. When at your performances, do you tend to have an older, younger, middle audience? Any trends?
That's strange because most people my age, they have an older audience that I know, quite a lot of them anyway. No, it's a mix. I mean, I have, I see there's 18, 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds and 30-year-olds who came to some of my concerts some years back and have taken the instrument up, whether it be the challenge or that it's different, and it is pretty different to other instruments. And it's a complicated instrument, and it's difficult not only to play but to keep, you know, tuned. And depending on where you live, it can be impossible if you live, say, in Arizona or up in Alaska or
because of this,
Colorado,
because it's so dry,
dryness and stuff like that. But you know, I get a mix. I get a very, very wide mix of age.
I was just curious because of, you know, your comment about the, you know, young people still being influenced by or mm-hmm. admiring mm-hmm. the Bathy band. Are you, this may not be something you even want to do. All right, let me back up and ask this question first. When this idea of the driving style, is that something you can duplicate on your own with just the pipes, or do you really need the backup band to sort of resurrect some of what that old style might have been, old style for you?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you're playing with another musician or a group of musicians or session, you know, you know the excitement it will change according to your mood, and obviously your playing is going to be very different in a session in a bar where people are having a drink and just enjoying themselves and there's no pressure on there. And you could, if you wished, you could use the music to move an audience, you know, you play something slow and moving. And I've often seen people with certain tunes played certain ways, if you can get into the mood and lose everything around you and just immerse yourself in that mood. I've seen people come out of the places with tears in their eyes. And then, you know, the other side of the coin is you could have them dancing, jumping about with excitement because, well, that happens more so when you've got one or two people playing with you, you know, playing, bouncing off each other and complimenting each other. But on my own, I suppose, if I, you know, if I'm in the right mood and the pipes are going right, yeah, I mean, the mood takes you there. Yeah.
What I was kind of leading to is, would it be possible for you to sort of transport yourself mentally now?
I don't know.
And just give
that.
Us a taste of, you know, right now. This is what I might have played back then.
It's a little early for that. it would be reels or, you know, there's slow airs, there are jigs, hornpipes, reels, and they're all different tempos. And of course, the reel is the one that sort of gives you that drive. And
well, pick something else for
it wouldn't
for
be
our next tune.
I mean, I couldn't say
however you want to play it.
Right? I could never say that
because you are who you are.
I could never say that. Okay, I'm going to play something terribly exciting right now. I never know. I never know how it's going to sound. It might be totally out. Or as you hear there earlier on, with some of the regulators are squeaking on me here. They need to be balanced, and I don't have time to do it right now. But the difference in. Sorry, I'd stop there because it's they are squeaking on me. But you know, you can create different types of excitement with different rhythms. And
sure.
Sometimes I might go in the middle of a tune and use some syncopation to move people. I don't like doing that. What I like when I feel best, let's say, is if I play a tune at a concert or a set. And I can get lost and feel that I'm, you know, just to find my own mood, and that's all that's coming out through the music, is how I feel at that given time. And the bonus then is when, you know, people come up and they tell me they like it, you know, and they genuinely do, let's say. And that's, as I said, that's the bonus for me. But I do get carried away sometimes at the end of shows, and, you know, obviously you're going to lift it somewhat and create a little more excitement, and that comes with reels, and much easier when you've got someone to play off, you know.
Which you will do tonight. We're talking with Patty Keenan here on Live and Local. We hope so. Patsy O'Brien is to be joining him tonight, singer, songwriter, guitarist. He is also coming down from Chicago at the on the Piper's Hut concert series at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. The online, they do sell tickets online, but the online sales are closed, I noticed from looking at their website just a little bit ago. And advanced sales, you'll be happy to know, were better than usual.
Wow, that's nice.
It's a small space, but it fills up quickly. So if you're interested, don't hang out too long at whatever you're doing first. So we're really pleased to have you on the show today. I need to tell our listeners that our programs today are made possible in part with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy the Bill T. Jones, Arnie Zane Dance Company's Fondly Do We Pray on November 18th. More information on this event is at krannertcenter.com. And on our show tomorrow, we're going to have three guests. One of them is actually the rest of an interview I aired yesterday from the Extension Chords, one of the a cappella groups at the University of Illinois, who are actually participating in two shows this weekend on the U of I campus. Also, Kevin Locke, who is the namesake of the Kevin Locke Native Dance Ensemble, which is giving its Native American performance at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. This is coming Tuesday. And then finally, singer-songwriter Nico Case is with us on the show tomorrow. She's performing at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night. So it should be a very full show tomorrow. Patty, I know you brought with you a CD where we can actually hear how you fit in with a larger band.
If you want a little excitement, actually, in the tunes, the first set of tunes on that CD is pretty exciting.
Would that be track number one?
Track number one, yeah.
Okay, so we're warning our sound engineer to change
because I've
chained up a little bit.
Yeah, Sorry about that, man.
He's very good. He's very good. So, what instruments are in this band?
There's percussion. I mean, side drum, Irish bowron, if you like, and there's a fiddle player playing with me, and guitar, and I think that's it. But it may sound like there's a lot more in there. This particular CD is... No, I won't go into that. You listen to it.
We'll listen on Live and Local.
Okay.
Those were a couple of reels, Jenny's Wedding and Craig's Pipes, performed here by Patty Keenan and his backup crew on a disc called Nakeen Affair, which he tells me is nothing terribly profound other than his own name mixed up for Keenan. Patty Keenan is on Live and Local with us here.
Excuse me, yeah.
He's going to be performing at Heartland Gallery on West Main Street, downtown Urbana, tonight starting at 8 o'clock. Doors will open, I think, well before that. It's a pretty small space, and bringing singer-songwriter, guitarist Patsy O'Brien with him. He's here on Live and Local with us right now, and we're delighted about that fact. I don't know technically the differences between how one plays the Illan pipes, but the term open-fingered style is what I keep reading in reference to. What does that mean?
Do you know?
As opposed to what?
As opposed to tight-fingered style and closed. And there's some people, there are some couple of pipers that I know of, a couple of them long gone, and there's, I think, at least one or two that I know who are noted for their style of playing, and they call it tight fingering. But it's more staccato and closed. You can see the chanter, and at the bottom of the chanter, people often ask me, you know, why do you lift it off your knee? Is that for effects? It's not. There's a note there. It's the bottom D. And by lifting the chanter off your knee and playing the notes above, it's going to sound much more open than if you kept it on your knee, somewhat like the Northumbrian pipes. It's just, you know, note for note after note. It's a very, how do I say, each note on this, you can vent the note, and make it sound more open. But, you know, saying all that, I don't really have any such thing as a particular style, you know, of playing. I don't believe so. You can play most any style if you've been playing the instrument and gained somewhat control of it over many, many years. So I use most everything I can, different styles, open, closed, staccato, tight, loose, whatever the term is. They have all these different terms for, like, piston notes and crans and rolls and staccatos, and I'll put anything wherever I feel that it suits. It's going to be used, you know.
Are you able to demonstrate any of those little technical things at the moment, regardless of clicking and squeaking and all that stuff?
No, a cran. Say this is a cran on the bottom D of the bottom D note. A simple cran is a G and F, gracing the bottom note, or rolling it. But then you can also add in more fingers like the C and A along with and prolong the cran. The rolls, they're rolls, and then the staccato is, some people call them piston notes. So there's a mix of all of that in my playing, although it may be a little more fluent than a lot of other pipers who would be a little more maybe... I use the word stiff. It's not, hopefully they wouldn't take offense to that. But it's a tighter way of playing. And it's very difficult to explain it because I don't, you know, as I said before, have any specific, I don't believe so anyway. I go back to the mood, and whatever it takes to express that, I will use it. And so therefore all styles of playing are within that.
Well, I was just curious to hear, because I didn't know any of those terms, and I won't remember them. But at least, you know, it was fun to hear those little elements.
Unless you take up the pipes or the flute, they're the same.
You brought your flute. I almost forgot.
I brought a low whistle in, and it's it's been nice on slow tunes, and I could give you a sample. I'll play a slow tune. It's a slow air I learned many years back I got from a friend in Brittany in France, and after that there's a bit of a jig. It's an Irish jig called the Rollicking Boys, from Tendragee or something like that. It's a place in Ireland. So if you'd like to hear this, I can.
Let's hear it. Patty Keenan now on the is that the tin whistle, the low whistle,
low whistle,
low whistle. Yeah.
You can throw some reverb on the sound. that's a couple of tunes on the flute, the low whistle there. But, you know, I should have taken the headphones off for that because I could hear myself breathing inside of the thing. And it was throwing the rhythm somewhat on the first slow tune there. But it's a beautiful tone. It's a beautiful sound. And they come in various different keys or pitches, and I used different for different occasions or tunes.
Well, we're delighted to have you, and it sounded great. Thank you, Paddy Keenan on Live and Local, and is appearing tonight with Patsy O'Brien at the Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana, part of the Piper's Hut Concert Series. Concert starts at 8, but you want to get there early because tickets are going pretty quickly, and it's a small space. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Programs on FM 90.9 today are made possible with support from Sinfonietta Camera, presenting Exploring the New World on Saturday, November 7th, 7:30 p.m. in the Kranitz Center for the Performing Arts. More information is available, 333-6280. This is WYLL-FM and HD Urbana.